middle school, the question mark. Apparently, I was reading some things this summer, and guess what? We have now banned the food pyramid. So it is not a food pyramid anymore, so my science and my whole title is basically inappropriate. Good luck, right? This started when the first grade teacher and a couple of third grade teachers wanted me to tweak some of my demonstrations and hands-on activities with the kids. And I was wanting to keep the chemistry, and what we decided to do was we were going to use a lot of food and we were going to identify starch in different foods. I've tweaked this now for 8th grade and 6th to 8th grade area because this would be applicable for health as well as science, nutrition, and the human body and digestion type thing. So that's where this came from. The food pyramid, we're back to my plate. So there's no more food pyramid. We can might as well X that off the screen. The simple chemical experiment, and yes, it's a chemical experiment. We're using an indicator, iodine, to find starch. And I can apply it in very many different ways. And the teachers can apply it in a health class. They don't have to do it in a science class. They can do it in a health class if they want to. Works just fine. And so that's where that went. Objectives, just find nutrients, a little bit about agriculture, where they get their food maybe, plants, plant anatomy. We can do starch digestion, could throw in a little enzyme function. Why not? Kids can take it. And then the idea, the basic principle at the fourth one is good nutrition, and it's important for health. Good old my plate. We can't have a pyramid anymore. I started this in 1992 and had the pyramid that looked like a pyramid. Then we went to, I don't know, a bunch of crazy triangles in 2002, was it, or something, when it changed that way. We now have my plate. So there are no more meats on there, and et cetera, et cetera. But I start this always with iodine, and they basically, using iodine, which you can see that pipette over there, it has that orangey fluid in it. If you drop iodine onto anything that contains a component of starch, and it can be a Pop-Tart, and of course it can be all the cereal we eat, the breads, the crackers, cakes, cookies, you name it, anything that contains starch, and a popcorn kernel does contain starch. We don't put the butter and the salt on our kernels of popcorn. You will see a quick change of orange, yellow-orange, to black. You see it right away. An indicator for starch as such. So they see that. We go into taking some of these foods and reading the labels and finding out what ingredients are in these foods and how much ingredients there are. And the quantity, you can find out a little bit about the quantity of starch sometimes in some of these labels, and it's kind of fun for the kids to do that kind of stuff, especially at the middle school later areas such, because they can see, first off, where the food comes from, the sources of this food, and things like that. So that's important. I do a little bit with seeds. It's good for them. Kids can learn plants. We have a lot of grains. They're eating those grains. And when you eat a grain and you eat a corn plant and you eat an oat plant, you do not eat the root or the stem, you eat the seed. But we really don't eat, well, we don't really want to eat the whole seed, or the reason we eat the seed is not for the embryo. The reason we eat the seed is because we're generally eating the endosperm. And most of the seed we eat when we eat our graham crackers and our Pop-Tarts and things like that, our bread and everything, we're eating the starchy endosperm. And so I have the kids, I imbibe some seeds and I divide them in half, and then the kids start putting drops of iodine on them, and they can see the starchy endosperm. And the corn seeds work very well because corn seeds are a little bigger. Yes, I have done it with oats, wheat, sorghum, and assorted other seeds as well. But they readily can see the starchy endosperm. And on this one, that pink stuff in the middle is a treated sweet corn seed. And you can see that you hardly see any blue or black on it. Sweet corn is sweet corn. It doesn't build much starch. That being said, there's some sweet corn in the bottom, And that corn was purchased at a store and then sat in my refrigerator for about a week or two. And lo and behold, there is a little bit more starch in that kernel than the others as such, because literally, as, and I explained to the kids, a sweet corn plant can build starch, it just doesn't build it too fast as such. But they can see this about, they get a little bit more science and things like that into it as such. We go into my plate and the parts of plants or the different foods they eat that might come from plants and whether they do or do not contain starch. So we've got the veggies up at the top. Up now you're seeing potatoes, radishes, and some carrots. Don't use those cheap carrots you get in a bag like that. It doesn't work too well. What's better to get is a real carrot that has a leaf and a stem and looks like a root. And if you get an old one and a new one,
$1 in Kern County.
tough luck. It just gets better with the carrots. And if you get an old one and a new one, young one, you can actually sometimes see the starch form up in the intricate spaces between the cambium and the main part of the root, set core as such. Kids get a good kick out of that. Fruits. Lots of different fruits. Right there I have apple and just a banana. All fruits just don't contain sugar as such. And so the banana is a great one. As the banana ripens, it has starch in it, and then as it ripens, the starch is broken down into sugar. And you can readily see that visually when you take a greenish banana and start bringing it down to its blackness as such. I also do some legumes as such because beans are important for proteins. And some beans contain starch, some beans don't. We do sweet math. My sweet math experiment is a whole mess of different containers of different sizes of all sorts of carbonated beverages and a little Gatorade thrown in. And I want to explain to them why it's 29 grams of sugar in a can of Coke. And, it's 29 grams of sugar in a can of Coke, and it's like 29 or 27 grams of sugar in a bottle of Coke on the label. Mountain Dew? No, not a Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is 45 grams of sugar or 46. Sunkist is 52 grams in a can by label. But if you look at the labels of bottles versus cans, the ingredients are by the serving size. And it turns out that a can has 12 ounces, a serving size in a bottle is 8. So it's 27 grams of sugar in Coke, and then the Coca-Cola container says something like 39. And they have to do the math to calculate. They don't drink 8 ounces of a bottle of Coke. They don't drink 24 ounces of that Mountain Dew. Or they don't drink 58 ounces or whatever those containers are, or Gatorade they're drinking on the football field and the soccer field. They drink the whole darn thing. So they have to calculate how much total sugars they drink in that manner. It's an eye-opening experience, that math.